إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session dealing with the subject of al-iman bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri. That is, having faith in the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the evil of it. And this topic is taken from the book Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiyah al-Mansura by al-Allama Hafiz ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah. The topic specifically that we are going to deal with tonight is the completion of the evidences related to the third level of al-Iman bil-Qadr. Yani the evidences from the Sunnah. Previously, we have dealt with the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned from the Quran, ayat from the Quran, last week and the previous week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we like to complete the evidences that he mentioned. That is, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the authentic Sunnah, which prove the reality of the Mashiach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His divine will supersedes everything. Whatever He decrees will be, and whatever He does not decree will not be. So we've been talking about this subject for a while, and I want to say, before we review what we discussed last week, quickly I want to remind myself and each of us, for whoever is sitting here tonight, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me and give me success, and you also, in to take seriously yani what we are discussing concerning this very important topic. And it is yani al-qadr, it is one of the arkan of iman, one of the fundamental pillars, foundations of iman. And even though we have been talking about this subject for a while now, I hope that we will not become bored either with the evidences that prove what we believe in or the explanation of the scholars concerning those evidences. I hope that we will not become bored. And then we take the matter lightly, and we don't take it seriously. And then we just listen, and it goes in one ear and out the other ear. Rather, we should be reviewing these ayat and these hadith and the explanations of the scholars of them. We should be reviewing them and trying to yani memorize whatever we can from the evidences and make sure at least that we understand those evidences, even if we didn't memorize them, so that we can act upon them. That is really the key. The key is getting the knowledge, understanding the evidences, and then acting upon it. But if a person doesn't have knowledge, there's no chance for them. And if a person has knowledge, but they don't understand what they have memorized, they don't understand the ayat of the Quran or the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ with the proper understanding, then the action that's based on misunderstanding will be faulty action. And we hope we will not be of those who have collected the information and we have understood what it means, but we don't act upon it. Because then we will be who? Like the people who Allah's wrath is upon. Al-Maghdoob alayhim, al-Yahood. May Allah grant us success in attaining this knowledge properly, its proper understanding from the scholars, and then actually striving every single day to live by it. To live by what we believe in al-Qadha wal-Qadha. To make it actually a foundation in our life that directs our affairs, our speech, our action, our interaction with other people, our worship of Allah in everything that we do. So, that being said, we would like to quickly review the five ayat that we mentioned last week, the Shaykh mentioned last week. Five ayat. One of them, tried to give me the reference for the ayat in case somebody wasn't here and they might want to make a note where it was at. Now, we're going to start with Ibrahim. Fadl.
Surah
Yasin. Surah Yasin.
36
surah?
Ayah
82.
إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ.
نعم, جيد. Meaning?
When Allah intends something, He only says to it, be and it is.
نعم. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا. يعني, the command of Allah, when he intends something, أَن يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Yani that he just says to it, be. He gives the command, be. And then it occurs. And this is a very important ayat because what? It makes us to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His will is executed because of what? His all-encompassing qudra, His power. He has the ability to execute His will. Now, when He intends something, He merely gives the command. And it occurs. It is as He commanded it to be. Another ayat. Now, Adam.
Surah Insan.
Third ayah? 30th. No. Naam, Surah Al-Insan is, what number of the surah is it?
76.
76. Naam. 30th ayah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Now, this ayah came in the context of what? Of seeking guidance. Yani those who want to seek a way to their Lord, then do so. And then Allah says after that, if you will to seek a way to your Rabb, then He says, that's the confirmation that you have a will. But then He says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, but you will not will anything, إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Meaning that your will not be executed unless Allah's will yani allows it. Unless it is in accordance with what Allah has willed. And this was from the previous week. Now, the ayah is from last week. Now, Naam? Surah Hud, Naam. 107. What surah number? 11. 11107, Naam. Inna Rabbaka fa'alul lima yurid. Meaning? Verily, your Rabb is the one who does whatever He wills. He is the one, indeed, verily, certainly, surely, He is the one who does whatever He wills. He wills something, He does it. And what is the context of the ayah? Does anybody remember the context of the ayah? Now,
the punishment of disbelievers,
that they will be in the hellfire as long as the heavens and the earth exist, except as your Rabb wills. Except as your Rabb wills, and your Rabb, He is the one who does whatever He wills. Now, last ayah was from Suratul Hud, 11th surah, what number? Ayah?
107.
طيب, good. Now, another ayah. Surah Al-Kahf. 23rd, 24th ayah. Now. Was that from last week?
The week before.
طيب, it's alright. No problem. Good. And meaning of it is? Do not say about anything? That I will definitely do this tomorrow, illa yasha'Allah. Except that you say, yani I will do it insha'Allah. Yani if it's in accordance with Allah's will. Now. Okay, one more ayah from last week, at least. Now. Now, huh? You forgot the reference? Somebody help us? It was the last ayah that we mentioned last week. Huh? Surah Al-An'am. Now, 6th surah? Ayah 125. So, the meaning of the ayat? Whomever Allah intends to guide him, he will span his chest towards Islam, open it up to Islam, to accept it, to receive it, to be pleased with it. Now. And whoever Allah intends to misguide, to lead astray, he will make his chest restricted, closed, tight. كَأَنَّهُ كأنما as if he's ascending up to the sky, to the heavens. Now, the tightness of the pressure of the upper levels of the atmosphere, or whatever they call that up there. And you said at the end of the ayah, كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ. Rich. Naam. Impurity, pollution, filth, and kufr, shirk, and so on. Naam. Faith. These are ayahs that we mentioned last week. All of these ayahs and the ayahs previously all show the all-encompassing will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything is subject to His will. And this does not negate the reality that the human being has a will, but the human being's will is limited free will, limited. It's subject to Allah's will. And nobody can do anything that they will to do unless Allah allows it. Unless Allah allows it. And everything is by the will of Allah, whatever it is. Whether it's life and death, whether it's guidance or misguidance, provisions or the absence of it, all of it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we try to complete the ayat, the hadith that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned concerning this matter. And there are six. May Allah make it easy for us to complete them. The first, and again, I'm going to try to, you know, sometimes summarize what has been mentioned here, because for the sake of time, in order for us to complete it, but I'll try to cover the most important essential points. The first hadith, the Shaykh, he mentions, قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ قُلُوبَ الْعِبَادِ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعِينِ مِنْ أَصَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ يُصَرِّفُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. That the Prophet ﷺ said, قُلُوبَ الْعِبَادِ, the hearts of the ibad, the servants of Allah, the creatures, the hearts of the people, بَيْنَ إِصْبَعِينَ, are between two fingers, مِنْ أَصَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ, of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, the hearts of the people, the human beings, are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman. كَقَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ, as though it is one heart. يُصَرِّفُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, and he does with it whatever he wills. He does with it whatever he wills. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, At-Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmed and others, rahimahumullah. And it's reported in the Sahih of Muslim in the book of Qadr, yani under the chapter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns or controls yani the hearts however he wills. However he wills, according to his mashiyah. Yani this is a hadith that deals with the Mashiyah of Allah, that He turns them, He does with them yani whatever He wills. This hadith in Sahih Muslim, the wording is yani slightly different, and it has something the Shaykh mentioned yani part of the hadith. And in Sahih Muslim, the hadith is narrated like this: Inna quluba bani Adam كلها بين إصبعين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن كقلب واحد يصرفه حيث يشاء. And the meaning is the same, but the wording is slightly different. It said, indeed, the hearts of the Bani Adam, the human beings, in the narration that the Shaykh mentioned, he mentions ibad. Some of the narrations came like that. In Sahih Muslim, it came instead of ibad, it came Bani Adam. And in the hearts of the human beings, all of them are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, like one heart. All of those hearts are like one heart. And the same way he deals with one heart, he can deal with all of the hearts of the human beings just like he deals with one. It's not a complicated matter. It's a simple matter. He turns it, yani that heart, he turns it however and wherever he wills. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. Then, after this saying, the Prophet ﷺ then said, yani the narrator said, then the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, Allahumma musarrif al-kulub, O Allah, the one who turns the hearts, who controls the hearts, sarrif kulubana ala fa'atik, yani turn our hearts to obedience of you. O Allah, the one who controls the hearts, turn our hearts towards to obedience of you. This is a beautiful supplication that we learned previously in one of the classes some time back ago. يعني اللهم مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. Turn our hearts to obedience to you. This is the dua that we should be making. Now, we are in need that Allah turn our hearts towards obedience to Him and away from disobedience to Him. Because every human being commits sins, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Every human being commits sins. But the best of those who commit sins, خير Al-Khatta'in, Al-Tawwabun. The best of those who commit sins are those who repent frequently. Naam. So ask Allah, we ask Allah to turn our hearts towards obedience to Him, and when we fall short on that, then we turn to Him in repentance frequently. Naam. This is hadith, this is how it came in Sahih Muslim. And the saying that indeed the hearts of the human beings are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, like one heart, He turns it however He wills. This, Al-Imam Nawawi said, هَذَا مِنْ أَحَدِيثِ الصِّفَاتِ. This is from the hadith related to الصِّفَاتِ, the sifat of Allah. يعني توحيد الأسماء والصفات. This hadith is one of the hadith that deal with sifat. And then he says, فِيهَا قَوْلَانِ السَّابِكَانِ قَرِيبًا. And concerning the hadith, a hadith of sifat, there are two sayings that have been previously mentioned. And then he goes on to say what these two sayings are. And we want to really comment on this in some detail, but we don't have a lot of time, so I'll try to summarize what was said there. He said one of those two sayings concerning the sifat. Yani, what is the correct view concerning the sifat of Allah? He says here in the explanation of this hadith, one of them is to have iman, al-iman biha, min ghayri ta'arrud lita'wil, wala lima'arifat al-ma'na. This is a mistake. So that the first opinion concerning this, and this is a wrong opinion, is that it is to have iman in the sifat without subjecting them to any ta'wil, giving them some reinterpretation. Yani to believe in them without reinterpreting them. That's good. Naam, we're not supposed to reinterpret them. But then he says, وَلَا لِمَعْرِفَةِ الْمَعْنَى, and without knowing the meaning of them. This is wrong. We don't believe in the sifat of Allah without knowing their meaning. We don't accept this. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and before him, Al-Imam Rabi', rahimahullah, he said, yani, concerning the sifat, when the man asked about istiwa, ar-Rahman, al-Arsh istiwa, Al-Imam Malik said, al-istiwa ma'loom, wal-kayf majhool, wal-iman bihi wajib, wal-su'al anhu bid'ah. This is one of the narrations that came in most of the books. That al-istiwa, this is one of the sifat of Allah, that Allah ascended above the throne. This is known. The how of it, the kayfiyah, is majhool, is not known to the human beings. Believing in it is wajib. And asking about it, meaning asking about how does Allah ascend or descend, or the how of Allah's sifat, this is bid'ah, this is innovation. And he had them to throw the man out. In the more correct narration of the statement of Imam Malik and those before him, and from amongst them, Salama, the wife of the Prophet, radiallahu anha, said, Al-istiwa ghayru majhool. Al-istiwa ghayru majhool. Al-istiwa is not unknown. Wal-kayf ghayru ma'akool. Ghayru ma'akool. And the how of it is not possible to be understood by the intellect, the aql. This is a little different than saying that it's not known. Rather, he is saying it's not possible to that it be known by the intellect, the how of it. And believing in it is obligatory to the end of what he said. The important thing is here, right? That the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we believe in the sifat and we confirm them as they are, without reinterpreting them, without distorting their meanings, without emptying of their meaning, without making comparison between the sifat of the creator and the sifat of the creation. We don't make any comparison, we don't make examples for them, for the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't say we don't know their meaning. The meaning is known. The meaning is known. يعني الاستواء غير مجهول يعني غير مجهول هو معلوم الاستواء معلوم معروف. It's known by the scholars of Islam. It's known. It might not be known to some people, but it's known. It's well known. What is the meaning of Allah in this case, Allah having fingers? What is the meaning of this? It's well known in the Arabic language what this means. The how of it, we know that the sifat of Allah are not like the sifat of the created beings. They are not like fingers of horses or fingers of frogs or fingers of birds or humans or otherwise, of any created being. But we understand them in a way that's يعني يليك بجلاله بعظمته. Naam, that is suitable to Allah's majesty and His greatness and His glory. So this is a very important issue, and again I'm saying that it requires some attention, but we don't have a lot of time, so I just want to say that this first opinion, that we believe in Allah's sifat without reinterpreting them, that part is correct. But without knowing their meaning, that's not correct. We know what the meaning are. We know what the meaning is. We know what the meaning of Allah has hand, that Allah has a face. We know what that means. Allah has a face. It is just as He describes Himself with, or as the Prophet ﷺ described with, the how of it We know it's not like the created beings. We don't know exactly how it is, but we know that indeed Allah described Himself as having a face, so He has a face. He described Himself as having fingers, so He has fingers. Naam. Are the fingers like the fingers of a human being, or like the fingers of an ape, or animal, or some other created being? No, obviously not. Because Allah's sifat are in accordance with His divinity, and His greatness, and His glory, and His perfection. And the sifat of the created beings are imperfect. Yani, are suitable for their imperfection of the human beings. So this is something that we have to come back to, but in any case, He said that. He said the second opinion is that they are reinterpreted. Yani, they are giving ta'wil. The second opinion is that the sifat of Allah should be interpreted in a way that's suitable, that's acceptable. Yani, acceptable, I guess. Yani, that's suitable to the mind of the people. Alaykum salam. And all of the scholars of the past and the present, they have spoken about this in detail, and now really we don't really have the time to discuss it in detail, but it needs to be discussed. That's a fact. So he gives these two opinions. And we say that neither one of these opinions is the opinion of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Neither one of these opinions. We don't give interpretation to them, nor do we say we don't know the meaning of them. We say it is known, it's not unknown. But the how of it, naam, the how of it, that we don't know. The how of it. But we know what is the meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has two hands. Or when He says that He ascends or descends. We know exactly, yani, what is the meaning of ascension and what is the meaning of descension. And so on. So again, I said this requires some yani discussion. We don't have time to now. But in any case, he does say here in the explanation of this hadith, the meaning of this hadith is أنه سبحانه وتعالى متصرف في قلوب عباده وغيرها كيف يشاء. The meaning of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the mutasarrif, the one who has complete and absolute control to do as He wills with the hearts of His ibad, as well as everything other than them, everything in the existence. He's the mutasarrif with everything in the creation, every created being and every part of it. Naam. And He does with it whatever He wills. وَلَا يَمْتَنِعُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ. And there's nothing from the created beings or their actions and so on that He is, yani, that prevents Him from doing with it what He wills. وَلَا يَفُوتُهُ مَا أَرَادَهُ. And there's nothing that He intends that will escape from Him. Rather, whatever He intends will happen, and so on to the end of what He said. And then he also mentions a hadith that's reported by Ibn Majah from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu concerning this. And in that hadith it says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يكثر أن يقول اللهم ثبت قلبي على دينك. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to frequently say, O Allah, make my heart firm upon your deen. And this hadith we also had, but the wording slightly different in some of the other books of hadith. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the one who turns over the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, make my heart firm upon your deen. Both of these supplications are very important. Musarrif al-qulub, muqallib al-qulub, the one who controls the hearts. Turn our hearts towards obedience to you and make our hearts firm upon your deen. And in the end of this hadith, yani, one of the companions, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, do you fear for us? While we have believed in you, we have confirmed everything that you have come with. Are you afraid for us? Are you worried about us? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, the hearts, yani, of the human beings are between two of the fingers of Ar-Rahman, and He turns them however He wills. And Shaykh al-Albani said this narration in the Sunan of Ibn Majah is Sahih. Allahumma musta'an. Yeah, inshallah, if I have a chance, I'm going to come back to this topic. The second hadith, the author, rahimahullah, said, قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَوْمِهِمْ فِي الْوَادِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَبَدَ أَرْوَاحَكُمْ حِينَ شَاءَ وَرَدَّهَا حِينَ شَاءَ. That the Prophet ﷺ said concerning their sleeping in the valley, yani when the Prophet ﷺ was on a journey. And there are different hadith that they say that perhaps it was on this journey, in Tabuk, on Khaybar, or Mecca, or in different hadith mentioned different places. And it could have been in any one of those journeys. There's difference of opinion about which journey it was. In any case, they were traveling during the night, and some of the companions said, O Messenger of Allah, if you would just give us a chance to rest. They were traveling during the night, he said, give us a chance to rest. And he said, I fear that, you will miss the salat. Yani you will fall asleep and miss the Fajr prayer. So Bilal radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I will wake you. So the people slept. And Bilal put his back against the wood on his camel seat, saddle, and Allah caused him to fall asleep. And the Prophet ﷺ woke up with the sun in their face. And on that occasion, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى قَبَدَ أَرْوَاحَكُمْ, that indeed Allah the Most High has taken your arwah, your ruh, your spirit, your soul, حِينَ شَاءَ, when He willed. وَرَدَّهَا حِينَ شَاءَ, and He returned it when He willed. Yani He caused you to sleep. Yani قَبَدَ عَلَى ruh here, it means He caused you to sleep. As in the supplication of sleeping and awakening, as the Prophet ﷺ used to say. He said that He took your souls when He willed. He caused you to sleep when He willed. And he returned it to you, allowed you to wake up when He willed. And this shows us what? That everything is by the will of Allah. Even though I want to stay up, I'm not ready to go to sleep, guess what? If Allah wills, you're going to sleep. Bilal intended to allow the people to sleep, to allow the Prophet ﷺ to sleep, radiallahu anhu. To allow them to sleep. That was a mercy from Bilal, radiallahu anhu. But Allah willed something else. He didn't intend to sleep, but he slept. And in some of the narrations of the hadith, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, when the Prophet said to him, Ya Bilal, what happened? What about what you said? He said, I never experienced sleep like this in my ever. I never had a sleep like that. Meaning Allah made him sleep to make sure he wasn't going to wake up. That was the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills, it is. That's the way it is. It's not your will, it's Allah's will. And when we understand that, our life will be different. May Allah grant us understanding of that. The understanding, that means the application, that we live by it. Because if you understand that, if we understand that, it will change our life. Wallahi, it will change our life. Because nothing else will really matter except the will of Allah. That's the only thing that we'll be concerned about. Because Allah is the only one who controls everything in the heavens and the earth. And no one, no created being controls anything in the universe at all. Not the mayor, the governor, the king, the president, or anybody else. Rather, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is the Rabbul Alameen who controls everything in every creature, everything that it does or says or that happens with it. Naam. So in this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and in Sunan al-Nasa'i and the Sunan of Abu Dawood, yani this hadith came in Bukhari as I said, and part of the hadith is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took your souls. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Allah took your souls when He willed and He returned them when He willed. فَقَضَوْا حَوَائِجَهُمْ وَتَوَضَّعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنْ طَلَعَتْ الشَّمْسِ وَبْيَضَّتْ فَقَامَ فَصَلَّىٰ. So they, when the Prophet ﷺ said that to them, they relieved themselves. Yani they took care of their needs. Yani a person wakes up, they have to go to the bathroom or whatever to relieve. They did whatever they had to do. Then they made wudu. And then they waited until the sun had risen high. Yani when it became bright. Yani on the horizon. And then the Prophet ﷺ stood up and he led them in prayer. And as I said, yani, in the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, in some of the explanations of Sahih Bukhari, different ones, the explanation Umdat al-Qari and Irshad al-Sari and other explanations, it mentions that this occasion was one of the journeys of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the hadith mention, yani one of his journeys that was Khaybah, and another one mentions Hudaybiyah, and a different hadith mentions on the way to Mecca, and another one mentions Tabuk, and in any case it was in one of his journeys. And one of the things that's mentioned in Umdat al-Qari, explanation of Sahih Bukhari, is that this hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَبَدَ أَرْوَاحَكُمْ, yani that Allah took your ruh, your arwah, is a proof that the ruh and the nafs, that they are one and the same. وَهُوَ قَوْلْ أَكْثَرَ الْعِمَّةِ, and this is the view of most of the imams, yani of the scholars of Islam. Naam. Because Allah mentions al-anfus, yani nafs, in the ayat in the Quran when He talks about Allah taking the souls of the people, and the Prophet mentioned ar-ruh. And that's a proof that what? That the nafs and the ruh, they are the same. And there's a long discussion about this, and we don't have time, yani, to discuss it in detail. But in any case, it happened when he was on one of his journeys, and it was the morning prayer, the subh or fajr prayer, and they waited until the sun was bright, and then the Prophet ﷺ performed, led them in prayer, the prayer that they had missed. The fajr prayer's time was gone, and they prayed it outside of his time, qada'an, yani as a makeup prayer. Naam. And then, the last thing I want to mention concerning this hadith, that the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that Allah took your souls when He willed and He returned them when He willed, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything. لَهُ mulk, كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He has control and mastery over everything. So the ruh of the human being, that which, is his life in this world, the ruh. When it's removed, he doesn't have life. And the control over his ruh, all of this is in the hand of Allah. So when he wills, he will take it out of the body. And that person will become like a dead person, and they will not be able to do anything. Naam. And that's what happens when a person is asleep. They're like a dead person. They can't get up and make salat, make wudu and stuff. They're not in control of anything anymore. And if Allah wills, He returns it. And they come back again, right? And they start doing things again. Or if Allah wills, He doesn't return it. And that means that what? They're dead. So Allah, He takes it, and they become like a dead person. And if He wills, He returns it. And then they are able to do things and have some control over their life again. And similarly, Allah's control over everything means that a person is not even able to sleep whenever he wills, nor to awake whenever he wills. Rather, everything is by the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can do anything except by the mashiach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh mentions the ayat from Surah Az-Zumar, 39th surah, 42nd ayat. About Allah taking the souls of the people at the time of their death. And those who are not going to die, He takes their souls in their sleep. So He holds on to those which He intends that their life end, and He returns those that He doesn't intend their life to end until a fixed period. And this is something that we should reflect upon. Naam. This is something that we should reflect upon. Naam. When a person goes to sleep, know that Allah has taken your ruh. And He may or may not return it. So a person should think about that before they go to sleep. Maybe they're not going to wake up. Some people go to sleep, they don't wake up, right? Do you have some guarantee that when you go to sleep, you're going to wake up? You don't have any guarantee. You should be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He, if He takes your soul, that He is merciful upon you. And that if He returns it, that He allows you to do that which will be pleasing to Him. To return to this world and do something pleasing. The third hadith that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم اشفعوا تؤجروا ويقضي الله على لسان رسوله ما شاء. اشفعوا, intercede, تؤجروا, and you will be rewarded, you will get an ajr. Intercede for somebody who's in need. Step up for them, speak up for them. Seek help for them. Ask somebody to help them, to assist them. And you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the explanation of this hadith, it becomes clear to us that your reward is not dependent on whether or not when you intercede for somebody, they actually receive help or not. Rather, the fact that you have interceded, whether they receive help or not, your reward is with Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is encouraging us to do good, even if we don't know if we're going to be successful in it, or if the outcome that we're looking for is going to actually happen or not. Everything is with Allah. اشفعوا تؤجروا intercede for someone in need and you will be rewarded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقضي الله على لسان رسوله ما شاء. And Allah is going to cause to happen on the tongue of His messenger whatever He wills. Whatever Allah wills. It's not according to the will of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, if you intercede for someone, to the Messenger of Allah, to anyone who has power, authority, or influence, or wealth, or whatever it is, if you intercede with them, it's not really up to them. What's going to happen is what Allah wills. Either Allah is going to cause them to give that person some help, or not. That's with Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, intercede. And whether or not I will help that person that you intercede for or not, that's with Allah. It's not with me. I don't even know. Allah only knows. Because whatever happens is going to be according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is narrated from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And it's reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawud and Ahmed. And in the full narration of the hadith, it is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّهُ كَانَ إِذَا أَتَاهُ السَّائِلُ أو صاحب الحاجة. يعني whenever a person came to him asking for something, or a person who has a need, whatever kind of need it may be. And the second one is more general than the first one. The one who's asking for something is specific, and the one who has a need is very, very general. It's more broad. So whenever somebody came to him asking for something specific, or the people who have need, قال, the Prophet ﷺ would say to the people around him, to his companions, اشفعوا, تعجروا, intercede for this person who is in need, and you will be rewarded. ويقضي الله على لسان رسوله ما شاء, and Allah will cause to happen upon the tongue of His Messenger. Yani whatever the Prophet ﷺ would say, it will be in accordance with what Allah wills. Naam. And there's a lot of discussion concerning this hadith, but the general meaning of it is, if a person who is in need, yani the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if a person who is in need comes to me asking to fulfill their need, then I order you to intercede with me for them. Speak up for the person. Try to get me to help them. فَإِنَّكُمْ إِنْ شَفَعَتُمْ لَهُ حَصَلَ لَكُمْ بِتِلْكَ الشَّفَاعَ أَجْرٌ. For indeed, if you intercede for that person, you will have received, due to your intercession, a reward. سَوَاءٌ قُبِلَتْ شَفَاعَتُكُمْ أَوْ لَمْ تُقْبَلْ. And it doesn't matter if your intercession is accepted or not accepted. Yani even if the person fulfills the thing that you're asking intercession for them for, if it's fulfilled or not, it doesn't matter. You are going to receive a reward. And this requires some discussion, because it is a tremendous matter if you really think about this. Yani if you make the effort to do good, you're going to get rewarded. Whether or not you succeed in it or not, whether or not you reach the destination or not, you're going to get the reward for it, based on your intention and your effort. The intention is a reward, and the effort is also a reward. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is saying, يَقْدِ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause to happen whatever He wills to happen on the tongue of His Messenger ﷺ, mean that He will make me to say whatever He wills for me to say. Yani to give that person what they need or not. He said, if I fulfill that person's need due to your intercession for them, if I fulfill their need, this is by the qadr of Allah. And if I do not fulfill their need, then this is also by the qadr of Allah, by the taqdeer of Allah. If I fulfill their need, or if I don't fulfill it, all of it is by the qadr of Allah. Meaning what? That everything is by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's a long discussion about the meaning of this expression. Yani the essence of it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that even though I'm the Messenger of Allah, I'm the Prophet of Allah, I'm the chosen of Allah, even I don't know if I'm going to accept your intercession or not. Rather, it's not according to my will. It's according to Allah's will. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Asadi has a beautiful explanation of this hadith, but it's quite lengthy. I just want to read just one point from it, what he said concerning this hadith, that this hadith contains an asl kabir, a big principle, a foundation, and a tremendous benefit. And it is that it is befitting of the servant of Allah to strive and make efforts in the matters of khair, in the affairs of khair. It's befitting of a believer, it's expected that you strive in these matters. Don't take it haphazardly, yani passively, but make an effort in them. It doesn't matter if what you intended bears fruit and comes to the result that you hoped for, or even part of it, or none of it. It doesn't matter. But rather you should strive in doing good. And this is the condition, and this is the situation of shafa'ah, interceding for those people who have needs in front of the rulers and the people of power and authority and influence, and those who have control over their needs. For many of the people are prevented from striving in this if they don't know if their intercession will be accepted. Yani some people, if they don't know if I intercede, maybe it's not going to be accepted, so they don't even try to intercede, not understanding that if they try to intercede, whether it's accepted or not, Allah is going to reward them. So this hadith is an encouragement for people to strive in the matters of good, especially in interceding, but in any matter of good. Even if you don't know, yani if your intercession or your effort is going to bear fruit or not. Because if you don't intercede or don't make any effort, then you will have lost a lot of good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also good that you could have achieved from your brother who is in need by you stepping up and trying to help him. That will affect his heart and his relationship with you if you had stepped up for him. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions to help the people who are in need by interceding with him on their behalf, so that they will get a definite reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he commanded them, intercede and you will be rewarded. For indeed, intercession is a good deed that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 85th Ayat, مَنْ يَشْفَعَ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِنْهَا. That whoever intercedes with a good intercession, then he will have a portion of the reward from that, whatever results from it. Yani, you intercede for somebody, and the person helps them, gives them some assistance or aid, whatever it may be, food, money, clothing, housing. By you interceding, you will get a portion of the reward. Naam, that the person who helps them, you will get also a portion of reward for interceding on that person's behalf. And then the Shaykh has a long discussion, and yani, the end of it, he's just saying that the qadr of Allah is of two types, yani, al-qadri wa dini. And we talked about this, and inshallah, in the next question, we're going to talk about it in detail. Yani, the irada of Allah al-qawniya and the irada of Allah al-diniya, Allah's universal will that must happen. There's no doubt about it. And then Allah's legislative will, yani, the things that He loves and is pleased with that may or may not happen. This, the Shaykh alludes to it here, but for the sake of time, inshallah, next week's class is going to deal with that. The fourth hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَا تَقُولُوا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشَاءَ فُلَانٌ. Do not say, it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. Do not say, it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. But rather say, it is the will of Allah alone. It is only Allah's will. Now, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, mentions, yani, a number of hadith concerning this subject, and one of them is the hadith here. I'd like to read some of what he said concerning this, because the Shaykh, he mentions actually some different hadith and different sayings of this type, so that we can put them all in perspective. So he, in the explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin, he says, rahimahullah, that the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان. Do not say it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله. But say it is the will of Allah. In this hadith he said what? ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. Say it is the will of Allah. ثم. Then after that, yani secondarily, then it is the will of so-and-so. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood with an isnad that is sahih. And it's also reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. In the explanation of this hadith, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, the author, yani of Riyadh al-Salihin, yani Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says in this book, the bab, what is this like of a person saying, ma sha'Allah wa sha'a fulan. Yani it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. That this is something, yani detestable, yani karahiyya, the karahiyya, it's makruh. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says that by al-kiraha here, Al-Imam Nawawi doesn't mean something just disliked. Rather, yuradu biha at-tahreem. That this is haram. It's not just makruh. Rather, it is haram. And we know that in the early generation of the Muslims, the word makruh, as is used in the Quran, means haram. Not like in the mustalah of fiqh today, we say this is makruh, it's disliked, this is haram, it's absolutely forbidden. Rather, in that time, makruh means haram. And the Shaykh is saying that this is what is intended here. That makruh here means that to say it is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so, this is haram. This is because the person who says this, it is as though they are equating the will of that person with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any saying like this is rejected and it's haram. Because when you say, ma sha'Allah wa sha'a fulan, the wow here is for equation. Taswir means that this is equal to this. So the will of Allah is on the same plane as the will of this person. So whoever says this, it is as though they have made that person as an equal to Allah in terms of al-mashiyah, in terms of the will. That their will is equal to the will of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone with al-mashiyah, at-tama, the perfect and complete will that has control over everything. He is the one who does whatever he wills. But he guided the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, when he prohibited him from saying this, mashallah wa sha'a fulan, he guided him to a saying that was permissible, and that is, in one of the narrations it says, but say, ma sha Allah, thumma sha fulan. Yani it is the will of Allah, and then after that, secondary, subject to the will of Allah, you can say it is the will of so and so. Because thumma here, yani, it indicates that the will of Allah is first and foremost, and then somewhere later on, after some time, thumma, yani after some time, then the will of the other person may come into play. And the meaning of this is what? أن مشيئة الله فوق مشيئة فلان. That when you say it like this, it means that the mashiyah of Allah is high above and superior to the will of so and so, whoever you mention after that. And similar to the saying ما شاء الله وشاء فلان is the saying that came in another hadith, ما شاء الله وشئت. It is the will of Allah and your will. That you say to somebody, يعني something happened, and you say to them, it was the will of Allah and your will. Naam. Because a man said this to the Prophet ﷺ, it is the will of Allah and your will, O Messenger of Allah. And it's your will, the will of Allah and your will. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا. Have you made me as an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani showing, yani distaste or this, you know, rejecting this kind of saying. And in that narration, it came like the Shaykh mentioned it here, بَلْ قُلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. Rather you should say, it is the will of Allah alone. Now here, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, and we close with this one, this hadith, he says that there are levels, maratib. And he mentions four levels of this type of saying. The first level is that you say, MashaAllah wahdahu. MashaAllah wahdahu. This is the first level. That you say it is the will of Allah alone. And in this word, there's the understanding of tafweed al-amra ila Allah. That you are delegating the affair to Allah. That Allah is the one who has absolute control. It is the will of Allah alone. Khalas, that's the end of the matter. And all the Muslims are in agreement with this. As we know that the scholars of the past and present, they all agreed upon مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. That whatever Allah wills, it is. And whatever Allah doesn't will, it will never happen. All Muslims are in agreement with this. Naam. The second level is that you say مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شَاءَ فُلَانَ. Yani it is the will of Allah. And then after that, secondary and subject to Allah's will, it is the will of so and so. And the Shaykh says, فَهَذِهِ جَائِزَ. Yani this is permissible. And the Prophet ﷺ allowed it. And he guided the man to say this in one of the narrations. Say it is the will of Allah, and then you can mention somebody else after that. And the third level is that a person says, MashaAllah, وَشَاءَ فُلَان. It is the will of Allah and the will of so-and-so. And this is what is mentioned in this hadith. Shaykh says, this is muharrama. It's haram, la yajuz. It's not permissible for a person to say this, because it is as though they are making the created being equal to the creator in terms of his will. And the fourth level is that a person says, MashaAllah, fasha'a. Fa, not thumma, fa, sha'a fulan. And this sounds like thumma sha'a fulan. Sounds like it, but it's not the same. The Shaykh says, whoever says this, it is the will of Allah, and then the will of so and so. Fa here, it is mahal al-nadr. Yani, this, the use of this word is, yani, there's some, it's some doubt about it. Yani, this requires some examination. Is this acceptable, permissible, or not? He said it is mahal nadr. This is something that we have to look at carefully, because there's the meaning of tartib here, that something is coming after something else, but it's not like thumma, which makes you to know that this is first, and then somewhere along the line, way after that, comes whatever thumma, then something else comes. Fa doesn't have this meaning, and for this reason the Shaykh said, yani fihi nadr. Yani this is something that requires examination, and it's not clear that it is permissible, and for this reason the Prophet ﷺ did not tell anyone to say this. MashaAllah, fa sha'a fulan. He didn't tell anybody to say this. Rather, it's permissible to say, MashaAllah, thumma sha'a fulan. Yani it is the will of Allah and then the will of so and so. But what's better than that? Al-martaba al-ula, the first level, and the best thing to say is, MashaAllah, wahdahu. It is the will of Allah alone. And the fifth hadith that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من يريد الله تعالى به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. That whoever Allah wants good for them, خيرا, whoever Allah intends good for them, He gives them understanding of the deen. He gives them يفقهه في الدين. He gives them understanding of the deen. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Ahmed, and Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. And in the explanation of this hadith, in Sahih Al-Bukhari, came in the Book of Knowledge, under whoever Allah intends good for them, He gives them understanding of the deen. It came in the Book of Knowledge, And it also came in other places in Sahih Bukhari. And this hadith is narrated from Muawiyah. And he mentioned it while he was giving a khutbah. And he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen. Whoever Allah intends good for them, if Allah intends khayr for someone, He will give them understanding of the deen. This is so very important. So very important. If Allah intends good for somebody, He gives them understanding of the deen. So what about the person who doesn't have understanding of the deen and doesn't ask Allah to give them understanding of the deen, is not concerned about having understanding of the deen. Rather, they are more concerned about the worldly affairs. I'm a computer expert. I'm an engineer, a doctor, a scientist. And I don't need to have understanding of the deen. I have all of this knowledge. Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen. Deen. When Allah intends good for somebody, He gives them understanding of the deen. This is very, very, very important. Nothing wrong with being an engineer, a doctor, and a scientist. This is very beautiful, wonderful. It's noble. May Allah make more of us doctors and engineers. But who are Muslims, who worship Allah, who understand their deen, first and foremost. Now, what's better than going to the hospital and you get a Muslim doctor who's upon the sunnah, who has correct aqidah, and who fears Allah? Any other doctor, I don't want to see him. I'm afraid to go to a hospital. Because what kind of doctors do they have in there? And we had a brother that used to sit over here, Brother Abdul Waqil, he was a doctor. Now, that's the kind of doctor you want to go to. A person has correct aqidah, who's upon the sunnah, who fears Allah. And Allah only knows what's in the hearts, but that's what, yani, وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. But this is how we see it. And Allah knows best what's in anyone, in the secrets of the people. But that's what we see. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever Allah intends good for him, He gives him understanding of the deen. And then he said, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْتِي. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm only the one who divides up, but Allah is the one who gives. Yani I'm the one who Allah has placed in charge to divide up whatever it is that is going to be divided up, but Allah is the one who يُعْتِي. وَاللَّهُ يُعْتِي. He is the one, المُعْتِي والمَانِي. وَلَنْ تَزَالُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَائِمَةً عَلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. And then he said in the end of the hadith, and they will continue, they will never cease to be in this ummah, yani some people from this ummah who will be upright upon the command of Allah, and nobody who opposes them will cause them harm, even until the command of Allah comes, yani the judgment day. The Shaykh, in this explanation of this hadith, he says, yani this hadith contains three ahkam, three rulings. The first of them is the excellence, faddu at-tafaqquh fi ddeen, the excellence of seeking understanding of the deen. And that's yani what we're emphasizing here. But the second of them is anna al-mu'ti fi al-haqiqah huwa Allah, the one who gives anything that anyone is given, whoever it came through. The reality, the one who gives, is Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma la mani'a lima atayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. That there's no one who can hold back what you give. And there's no one who can give what you hold back. Because Allah is the one who gives. Anybody gave you anything, thank them. But know that the khair is from Allah alone. Allah alone. It may come through that person. And we give them credit for that. But it's from Allah. Don't ever forget that it's from Allah. He's the one who the praise belongs to and the thanks is for. The second of these matters is that Allah, He is in reality the one who gives. And the third hukum in this hadith is, أَنَّ بَعْدُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَبْقَى عَلَى الْحَقِّ أَبَدًا. That some of the members of this ummah will remain upon the truth until the end. Yani there will never be a time when there are no people who are upon the haqq, who are upon the sunnah. There will never be a time when there are no people. There will always be some people upon the sunnah in this earth until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Until Allah removes everyone who has iman in their heart, by the wind that will come in the last days, and remove every person who has any iman in their heart, and nobody will remain except al-ashar, yani ashar, the people of evil. And then Allah will bring the judgment upon those people. He will remove the believers from the earth before He brings the judgment upon them. So what is intended by this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is intended by the end of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the souls of every, He says, of every person who has any iman in their heart, and then by a wind that will come to the earth, and then what will remain will only be the people of evil, and will bring the hour of judgment upon them. So this hadith confirms, yani the confirmation of al-khayr for the one who seeks understanding of the deen. And also, وَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَكُونَ بِالْإِكْتِسَابِ فَقَطْ. And that this fiqh, this understanding of deen, is not by you seeking and searching knowledge alone. Don't give the credit to yourself alone. That I worked hard, I studied all night, I got this understanding by myself. Rather, it's not by that. Rather, Allah is the one who yufaqqihu fi al-deen. When Allah intends good for you, He gives you fiqh. You gotta make effort, that's true. But give the credit where it belongs. It belongs to Allah. It's a very important point in this hadith that the understanding of deen is a virtuous thing, but it's not from you alone. بَلْ لِمَنْ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِي. But it is, yani the person who have it is the one who Allah grants him success in achieving it. And whoever Allah grants success in achieving it, there will remain some people like this on the earth until the command of Allah comes, yani يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. These people were given understanding of the deen. He says in the explanation of this hadith that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said definitively that what is intended by them is Ahlul Ilm wal Athar, the people of knowledge and the people of the Sunnah, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is who is meant by this. And Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he said, if it is not the Ahl Hadith, then I don't know who it is. Yani the people who give who Allah gives understand, if it's not the Ahl Hadith, who is it then? If it's not the Ahl Hadith, who could it be then? I don't know who it could be. Can't be anybody else, because everybody else is astray. No matter what type of information they have accumulated. And then he says that Al-Qadi Iyad said that what is intended by Imam Ahmed is Ahl Sunnah. وَمَنْ يَعْتَقِدُ مَذْهَبْ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ. Yani he means by what? The Ahl Sunnah and those who hold the Aqeedah of Ahl Hadith. Even if you're not a Muhaddith, but you have the Aqeedah of the Ahl Hadith, you're included. Imam Nawawi mentions a different meaning, but for the sake of time, yani, the last thing we want to mention concerning this hadith is what is understood from this hadith, what may be understood, the mafhum of this hadith. Yani, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is whoever Allah intends good for him, He gives him understanding of the deen. And the mafhum, yani, the understanding that you may derive from that, is that whoever Allah does not give understanding in the deen, yani, they didn't learn the qawaid, the principles of Islam, and the branches of Islam, then this person has been deprived of khair. Person who doesn't get understanding of deen, they have been deprived of khair. Because whoever Allah intends good for them, He gives them understanding of the deen. So whoever He didn't give understanding of deen, they are deprived. حُرِمَ الْخَيْرِ. And then he mentions a narration, but the hadith is da'if, yani the isnad is da'if, but the meaning of it, he says, yani is correct. Yani Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says the meaning is correct. The hadith of Muawiyah, he said in one of the narrations, he added that, yani in the end of the hadith, he said, whoever Allah does not give understanding of the deen, then Allah doesn't care about that person. And this meaning is correct, even though, yani the wording didn't come authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, he says, in this hadith, there's clarification that of the excellence of the ulama over the rest of the people, the superiority of the ulama over all the rest of the people. And how do we understand that? Because if Allah intends good for a person, He gives them knowledge of the deen. So the people Allah gave knowledge to, they're superior to the rest of the people. And also the excellence of seeking knowledge of the deen over other knowledges, over all other types of knowledge. That it is superior. Seeking knowledge of the deen is superior to seeking any other type of knowledge. And this doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek other types of knowledge. And we're going to close with this last hadith, and I'll really summarize it inshallah, because I know the time is tight right now. The last hadith that the Imam Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah mentions, saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَحْمَةَ أُمَّةٍ قَبَضَ نَبِيَّهَا قَبْلَهَا. That when Allah intends to have mercy upon a nation, He takes their prophet, He takes the life of their prophet before them. Takes the life of the Prophet first before that nation is taken out. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ حَلَكَةَ أُمَّةٍ عَذَّبَهَا وَنَبِيُّهَا حَيٌّ. And when Allah intends to destroy, He intends destruction of a nation, He punishes them while their Prophet is still living to witness their punishment and to enjoy it, because they disbelieved in Him and disobeyed Him. So Allah allows Him to see them destroyed. When Allah intends rahmah, He intends rahmah, giving people a break, takes their Prophet first. But when He intends destruction of a people, He destroys them and lets their Prophet see their destruction. This hadith is narrated from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and the complete wording of it is that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِذَا أَرَادَ رَحْمَةَ أُمَّةٍ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ قَبَدَ نَبِيَّهَا قَبْلَهَا. That verily Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, when he intends rahmah over for a nation from amongst his servants, then he takes the life of their prophet before them. فَجَعَلَهُ لَهَا فَرَطًا وَسَلَفًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا. So he made that prophet to go ahead of them, to precede them, to lay the way for them, to set up a way for them, to make it easy on them before they are taken out of this world. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ حَلَكَةَ أُمَّةٍ عَذَّبَهَا وَنَبِيُّهَا حَيٌّ. And when he intends destruction of a nation, then he destroys them, he punishes them while their prophet is living. فَأَحْلَكَهَا وَهُوَ يَنْظُرْ. So he destroys them while their prophet is looking, seeing them being destroyed. فَقَرَّ عَيْنَهُ بِحَلَكَتِهَا. So he finds the joy of his eyes in the destruction of those people. حِينَ كَذَّبُوهُ وَعَسَوْا أَمْرَهُ. Since they did what? Yani at that time when they did what? They denied him, they belied him, they called him a liar, they didn't accept the message that he brought, and they disobeyed his command to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Naam. And in brief, yani in the explanation of Al-Jami Al-Saghir, he gave us a good comment concerning this hadith, yani, and I'll just read a couple of points from it. He says that when Allah intends mercy for a people, it means يعني تأخيرها, that He's going to give them some respite. يعني إمحالها, that He will give them some respite and some delay. And then He will take the life of their prophet before them and send him so that He will go ahead for them to make the way for them. And here in the explanation He says the فَرَطًا وَسَلَفًا. فَرَطًا means the one who goes ahead. يعني who goes ahead of a people, yani to on the journey, who goes ahead to set up the place and to get the water ready for the people when they are on the journey and they take a rest. And salafan, it means, he gives a couple of meanings, but the meaning that's intended here is the salaf of a person is the one who goes ahead of them, who dies before them, like their fathers or their ancestors or their near relatives who die before them. And this is why the first generation of the Muslims from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, that's why they are called as Salaf al-Salih. So what is intended here is this meaning, that the Prophet ﷺ will go, he will die ahead of them, and he will precede them, and lead the way for them. And this is yani, the meaning that is understood from this hadith. And finally he says, that when Allah intends to destroy a people, then when he intends destruction for a people, then he punishes them while their Prophet is living. So he destroys them while their Prophet is seeing their destruction, and this is as it happened with Nuh ﷺ and his people, and other prophets besides him, yani who saw yani the disobedient people who rejected them and disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed in front of their eyes while they disbelieved in him and rejected him and disobeyed him. So he saw their destruction and he saw their end, and this is yani the coolness of the eye of the one who yani sees their opponent or the enemy or the one who has been disobedient and disbelieving in Allah destroyed because of their opposing his command. And then the Shaykh, he says, he ends this hadith, he says, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ فِي ذِكْرُ الْمَشِيَّةِ وَالْإِرَادَةِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى. And there are many other hadith that deal with al-mashiyah and al-irada, the will of Allah and his intention, when he wills something or he intends something, and they are innumerable. They are innumerable, and they are really innumerable. If somebody was to go just back to the books of Sahih, like Bukhari and Muslim, not even to mention the Sunan of Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nisa'i and the Muwatta and the Musnad, you will see that there are so many hadith dealing with this matter of the Mashiach of Allah and the Irada of Allah. And inshallah, next week we will come back to this subject and close it out with a discussion concerning the two types of Irada of Allah, al-Irada al-Khawniyah, wal-Irada al-Shari'iyah al-Diniyah, and the difference between them. And this understanding of the difference between these two matters is extremely important for us, so that we do not become confused when things yani don't always go the way we want them to go. We should know that the will of Allah, that must be executed when He wills it, no matter what, includes both that which He loves and is pleased with, as well as that which He does not love and is not pleased with. And we have to understand that this is also part of the will of Allah, and He wills something to happen according to this will, for wisdom, for purpose, for an objective. And the believer who understands that when something happens that they don't like, a calamity or affliction, or some harm comes to them, or loss of life or loved ones, then they understand that it is the will of Allah. And they may say, for example, that قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاعَ فَعَلَ, that Allah has decreed it, and he does whatever he wills. To recognize what? That it is by Allah's decree, and Allah does whatever he wills, and nobody can change that. وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And we understand that this is also recognition that we belong to Allah, therefore he can do with us whatever he wills. But we hope and expect and anticipate the return to him. We will definitely return to him, and we hope for our reward from Allah, from our Lord, if we are patient with that which he has decreed for us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Perhaps we can take one or two questions if there's something that was said that is not clear. If there was something that was said that is not clear. Now, Abdul Khaliq. Fikum barakallah. Try to speak up just a little bit because my hearing is poor. Naam, the Prophet commanded, yani, ishfa'u is a fi'l amr. It means, al-amr yaqtadi al-wujub. Unless there's something shows otherwise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded them. And in this case, we understand that the command here is understood to be an encouragement or a guidance, irshad to the people to do that which is good. Naam, Allah commanded us to do good, but he doesn't force us to do it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded them, meaning he encouraged them. He encouraged them, urged them sternly and strongly to get them to do good, because he knew that if they do that, they're going to be rewarded by Allah. But did he force them to do it? No, he doesn't force them to do it, but he commands, meaning the command that means something that is mustahab, it's loved by Allah and it is rewardable. And that's why he said, ishfa'u tu'jaru. Yani, I command you to intercede and you will be rewarded. If you don't want to be rewarded, don't intercede. That's up to you. Naam, Adam. Wa iyyakum. Naam. 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 Yeah, we shouldn't say that the person took shahada because it was Allah's will and this person's effort. Not end. But you can say thumma. You can say this person took shahada because it's the will of Allah. And then after that, also we include the effort of the brother. Naam, the brother made a good effort, may Allah reward him. But what's better than that is to say what the Prophet ﷺ said, the Shaykh said, this is the best of what can be said, MashaAllah wahda. This is the will of Allah alone. It's really by the will of Allah. If somebody did something, Allah will give them credit. But really, we have to put ourselves in the frame of mind that we recognize that everything happens absolutely by the will of Allah. Not because of anyone's effort. If they made the effort or not, what Allah wills is going to happen. It's not, yani, that person taking shahada was not dependent on somebody's effort. Rather, it was Allah's will. It was going to happen with or without that person's effort. That's what we need to understand. That doesn't mean that it's not permissible to say thumma. Then, to recognize that person gets some credit. Naam, it's okay to say that. But what's better than that is to say it's by the will of Allah. Khalas. Allah, he has done this, he willed this. With or without you, if we existed or not, that's going to happen, what Allah wills. With or without us. Rather, it is Allah's mercy and His favor upon the brother who made an effort, that Allah used him. That Allah used him to bring this person. Through him, Allah brought the person to Islam. Through him. But Allah is the one who did it. Yani, Allah will guide a person. That Allah guide a person through you is better than red camels. That Allah guide a person through you. Not that you guide the person, that Allah guide the person. So the person who took shahada, Allah guided him, not the effort of the person. But through the person, naam, they get credit for that. May Allah accept it from us. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.